You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy, happy Thursday. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I am one of the hosts of this show, Tony East, covering the Pacers for Forbes. And today was supposed to be simple. I was going to have Stefano from The Athletic come on. He writes about the Bulls. He was going to tell you guys all about Justin Holiday. We were going to talk about Thaddeus Young. It was going to be nice and easy. And then the Pacers decided to make a minor roster move, and they signed Jakarr Sampson to a one-year deal that appears to be partially guaranteed, but I don't know that for sure. It's a one-year veteran minimum deal. Per Shams Charania of The Athletic, Jakarr Sampson mostly has been a G League player in his career. He's got some time with the Kings, and he was a starter for the Process Sixers. That does not mean he was a really good player for them. That just means he started for those crappy Sixers teams. But last year with the Bulls, they played him down the stretch in their last four games. He averaged 20 points and 8 rebounds in like 32 minutes, but that's just because he played a crap ton and actually shot really well. But you'll hear conveniently about him in this segment because we were just going to talk. I was just going to have Stefan tell me about Justin Holiday's game and you guys. But instead, we got to talk about Jakarr Sampson. Not instead. Additionally, we got to talk about Jakarr Sampson. So this episode is packed with Jakarr Sampson, Thaddeus Young, some Darren Collison sprinkled in. And, of course, you get to learn a lot more about the Pacers' new glossy signing, Justin Holiday. So stick around for this conversation. We cover lots of bases of players. But, yeah, I just wanted to bring you the news that the final player, most likely, on the Pacers' regular season roster on day one was signed today, Jakarr Sampson. Now enjoy some conversation from a Bulls expert about Justin Holiday. All right, so today's show was supposed to be let's have a Bulls guy on and talk Justin Holiday because the best two seasons of Holiday's career, the last 2 years he was with the Bulls, and then the Pacers decided today they were going to sign Jakarr Sampson, who also just played his best basketball for the Bulls last year. So let's do it. Let's get the dish on those guys and talk some Thad Young with me. Writes about the Bulls for The Athletic Chicago is Stefan Noh. Stefan, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate you coming on to talk about the new guys. Jakarr Sampson, of course, being the best of the group. That just the timing of that with this podcast coming up like 2 hours after the signing got broken just cracked me up. I was like, wow, this is so convenient for me. But obviously the headliner here for the listeners of Locked On Pacers is Justin Holiday, who I believe has been brought here for his defense, but that's not all he is. And I want you to tell me just your overall impressions of his game and what he's brought to the Bulls the last 2 years.
You know, you DM'd me a couple days ago, and I'm just gonna give a peek behind the curtain here. You said that you were watching these deep cuts of Justin Holiday's defense from a 22-win Bulls team, and I was just like, I don't know if I was impressed or if I felt bad for you that.
Can I tell you what I did actually?
Yeah, go ahead.
I found his highest scoring game with the Bulls last season. I believe it was 22 against the Heat, and he was guarding Rodney Magruder. And there were a few possessions. He got switched on to Josh Richardson, and Richardson just destroyed him. But he did very well on Magruder. And I was like, ooh, interesting. Maybe his on-ball D is pretty good. But Magruder is not exactly a threatening opponent.
Yeah, I'm sure your listeners know this by now. But, yeah, the amount of work you put in on some of these deep bench guys is really impressive to me. Give you a summary of what I saw from Holiday, though. Yeah, so he played two different stints with the Bulls. He's a high-character guy. That's why they brought him back for that second stint. And they were actually rumored to be interested in him this offseason. He ended up being priced out a little bit out of their range. But I was surprised he lasted as long as he did in this free agency period. I don't think that he, you know, he started for the Bulls the past 2 years. I don't really think that he is really starter quality. But as far as a guy who could be like seventh or eighth man on your team, backup wing. As long as you keep his role fairly limited, I think, you know, he's great from the corners shooting threes. He can guard a couple different positions, although he's really skinny, so he gets overpowered a lot. And yeah, you mentioned Josh Richardson. Like he had to guard oftentimes like the best wing player on opposing teams, and he's just not really capable of doing that. But if he's playing against bench units, I think he can be really solid guy for the Pacers and just like a guy that doesn't really take anything off the table. But, you know, if you ask him to do isolation scoring or do anything off the dribble, really. He's probably not going to be able to do that very well. But I thought it was a really good pickup for the Pacers. And, yeah, pretty good number, one-year deal. So not really putting too much into it. And I think he can definitely help you guys.
Yeah, you just brought up something I wanted to ask you later, but it seems like a good time to bring it up. Yeah, his off-the-dribble game, which I don't think the Pacers really care about. But I want to talk about it because you look at his basketball reference page without watching him at all, and he's only shot over 40% once ever in his whole career, and that's just a disaster. And it was that season with the Knicks when he was like actually kind of useful off the bench for the Knicks. So my question to you is, does he have are his shooting percentages actually indicative of how he'd be used on the Pacers? Because I know with the Bulls, he's actually was asked to a few times, like you just said, like try to create a shot off the dribble at the end of the shot clock. And that's not his game. But when he's a play finisher, he's actually more efficient and more useful, I feel like.
Well, I know you're not like the biggest Nate McMillan fan, but at least his offense wasn't intentionally draining the shot clock and then giving the ball to Justin Holiday to force up a shot. That was like the Bulls offense for a lot of December when Boylan first took over. So you put him in a Kobe Bryant role. You're pretty much asking him to fail, which is what he did with the Bulls. But he still shot the ball very well from three. He's just not the type of guy who is going to look good when you ask him to do anything outside of basically spread the floor, provide gravity, and then, you know, provide pretty good team defense on the other end of the floor.
Yeah, I just like outside of LaVine. Just watching him in some of these shots, I was like, why did Justin Holiday take that shot? But whatever, I'm not the Bulls coach. Which is always interesting to me. But I think on this Pacers second unit, or if he even gets minutes with the starters, because we both brought up his defense, and we'll get more in depth on it later. But like, he's probably the best defensive wing this team has now. So there may be some closing lineup situations where he ends up on the floor. But I highly doubt that with Oladipo, Brogdon, Warren, Lamb, even his brother Aaron a little bit, and Sabonis, that there's ever a situation where Holiday would be the guy that's asked to create a shot for himself, which I'm encouraged by. And I think if he is designated as a finisher, that can be a lot better, especially because in the parts of the McMillan offense that you have brought up that I don't like, is he could get McDermotted and reduced to, you know, he gets one cut and then he gets stuck in the corner. But maybe for Justin Holiday, that's kind of the ideal role, right? Because like you said, his corner three-pointer is probably his best shot, right?
Yeah, he can shoot a little bit off the dribble too, off the dribble threes. He really likes taking those in transition too. And aside from just like the straight offense and defense stuff, I think he does provide some pretty good stuff intangibles wise. He's really good teammate, high character guy. He's a very religious guy too. So I don't think he's like going out to the clubs and like he's not going to be a bad influence on the younger players or anything like that, which is always a nice thing to get with like your, you know, veteran seventh, eighth guy.
Right. Well, speaking of religious, I'm just going to bring this up. Darren Collison rumored to the Bulls and then retires to focus on his faith. How does it feel for the Bulls to be spurned by a player in lieu of retirement?
That'd yeah, I guess really I guess that. Having a meeting with Jim Boylan can make you see God really quickly. So it was pretty embarrassing for the Bulls. I think he was like one of their top targets. And then for him to retire, I actually think it was great because they ended up picking up Thomas Satoransky, which I think he's actually a better player.
He is.
Yeah. So ended up working out.
I wonder
what
the timeline of events is like, if the Bulls actually approached him and talked to him and then he retired, or he, you know, because obviously like he didn't wait till the 30th to hear offers. He's a starting NBA point guard. But I'm just curious, like, if he was like, my only offer is the Bulls. All right. Yeah, I'll retire.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's not what actually happened, but it is kind of funny to joke about. And it's interesting too that they targeted two Pacers right out of the gate. I mean, right when free agency opened, they announced that Thad Young signing. So clearly like that was in the works. NBA is like investigating these tampering allegations. And I think that was a pretty clear cut case given that like he signed within 1 minute of them being able to get him.
Yeah. Are they going to fine every team? Like every single team had a leaked signing by 5:30. It was ridiculous. That ESPN story about how all these teams are like pointing fingers at other teams for tampering. I'm like, you all did it. Like, why would you shoot yourself in the foot by snitching on other teams? It doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, we'll talk about Thad later. Team USA potential member, Thad.
Yeah, good for him. I was happy to hear that.
Super cool, yeah. He can do some recruiting for the Bulls if he makes the team. We'll get to him in a minute. I am pretty pumped for him to be, I think, in his it's kind of funky to call this his ideal role, but his ideal teammate role. But back to Holiday on defense specifically, you bring up more his team defense than on-ball defense. Is that just because of his like weight in general that you think he's a better team defender, or because of his intangibles? Because his defense is really the most important thing he will bring to the Pacers.
Well, the thing I like about him is, yeah, he was asked to do way too much on both ends, as I mentioned before. Like, he had to guard Giannis when the Bulls faced the Bucks, but even in these matchups where he kind of stood no chance, he would always make like a really good effort. He's a pretty physical guy. So yeah, he couldn't guard guys like Giannis, but at least like, you know, that he is always going to, he's not going to back down from those matchups. And as far as team defense, yeah, the Bulls, it was hard to judge him from his time with the Bulls, because I think they were the number 30 defense last season. And
the Cavs had to be worse.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Yeah, the Cavs were like one of the historically worst defenses. Bulls were 29th.
Yes.
Yeah, but there were so many holes on that defense. He was kind of the only competent guy in the wing. I mean, you got to remember that they started the year with Jabari Parker and Zach LaVine. That's probably the worst 2-4 defense. I don't know, in the league. Like, they're probably their worst defenders at their position. So he had to cover a lot for those guys. But you know, Jim Boylan spoke really highly of Justin Holiday's presence on the defensive end. Just a really smart guy that knows when to rotate. Yeah, I thought that like he did a pretty good job of teaching the younger players defensive rotations too. So he doesn't have the greatest physical tools. He does have a really long wingspan, but he's just not like a super athlete. He's just like not very strong, but he makes do with what he has. And I think that he's probably like a little bit above average as a team defender and maybe a little bit below average as an on-ball defender.
And that's like a good and bad answer, because on the one hand, obviously you're happy to have, like, he's the best wing defender this team has, and you're happy to have a good team defender. Like, he's better than TJ Warren and Jeremy Lamb defending the perimeter and the wing and defensive smarts in general. The team needs that. You know, they're going to need, at some point, their best defensive lineup, like I said, is going to feature him. He'll probably, you know, if they need a one possession stop, I imagine Justin Holiday ends up on the floor. But they also needed a Giannis / whoever the hell in the East, Jason Tatum, KD next year stopper. Now, next year, obviously, is not an issue with Holiday's on a 1-year deal. But if Justin Holiday's their guy for that and he's not particularly good at that, they're kind of back to square one, which is not as encouraging.
Yeah, I wouldn't. He's definitely not going to be able to stop those great.
Well, no one can stop Giannis. Let's skip Giannis. That's not fair.
Well, actually, Thad Young was pretty good on him.
So. That's true. One of the best.
Probably lost Giannis, their best Giannis defender.
Yeah, you should write about that. That was like after they played their Pacers one win against the Bucks. Giannis literally said, like, "Damn, Thad's good."
Yeah, very underrated defender.
Yeah. Let's just get to him now, man. I love talking about Thad Young. I'm gonna miss him.
Okay. Let's do it.
His like peak role to me as a person, not even as a player, right? Because he's clearly contributes to winning. Team USA wants him around for a reason. But like as a person, just the way he is, it's just like him and a bunch of kids, where he's just like spewing important information about like how to win and be a good person, like left and right. I love that he's on the polls for that.
Yeah, he actually came to the summer league to support these young Bulls. So we got to talk to him one time in group. And even just from like a 10-minute conversation, I mean, most of the reporters were really impressed by just how poised he is. And he talked about how his role on this Bulls team is kind of similar to what he did with the Pacers, where, you know, he's just trying to provide veteran leadership, teach these guys how to win. Yeah, I think he has a resume to do it. And I mean, I think the Bulls were really thrilled to get him. Obviously, like, he was their number one priority. So
yeah, that's awesome for Thad that he got snapped up so fast. So is he going to start or no? Because I know Wendell's hurt, but it seems like they'd want to go Markkanen and Carter, but Thad is maybe not better than Markin right now. It's close, but like he's probably the best of those three at this point in time, right?
Yeah, he was asked about that. And he said that, you know, obviously he wants to start. Every player wants to start, but he's fine with coming off the bench at this point in his career. I don't know what the Bulls are going to do. It seems like their goal this year is to try to make the playoffs. So wow. I think that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. For a 22-win team, I mean, that's pretty optimistic, but I think Thad probably gives them the best shot to do that. If it looks like it's not a reality, you know, midway through the year, they're probably going to start playing Markkanen and Carter a lot more. Carter started most of the games last year before he got hurt. So I think that's probably going to come off the bench at first. Maybe if they are looking like they have a shot at that eighth seed, maybe they start playing that a little bit more, because I do think that he's probably better than those guys at this moment.
Yeah, Thad, Markkanen, Porter, and Sato is like a good team. And LaVine, like that's a good five if you really go for it. Now the rest of the team is what it is, but like,
right, like once you, there's a pretty steep drop off, which is the problem, right?
that's a good summer. I'm happy for the Bulls.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job, surprisingly. This is like the probably their best free agency summer since, I don't even know, like since they got Pau Gasol, and I think that was like 2014.
You mean Wade Rondo wasn't a good summer?
I was not a fan of those moves, no.
And Cornette's good too, sneakily back there. That's a fun little summer. Yeah, and Thad on Team USA is going to recruit Anthony Davis for next summer, right? Going to bring him home.
Maybe not to the Bulls. Maybe they'll like go play somewhere else together.
Is that even like a story people are trying to have be a Bulls thing or no?
Yeah, actually, Anthony Davis just had a summer camp in Chicago. I think it was like 2 days ago, and somebody asked him, you know, would you be open to playing for the Bulls one day? And he's like, well, I mean, I might consider it. So I think he was giving a politically correct answer, yeah. But a lot of people are running with that. And
the I'm in Chicago answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think for Thad, the best thing he can do is just teach Markkanen and Wendell a little bit about perimeter defense. Cause like, you know, we just talked about he was really good on Giannis. He's one of the best defending of wings at the four in the league. And like with the way the league is going, that's so important. I think, just sharing that wealth of information, both as a leader and by showing them on the court, because he's a damn good player, will be supremely valuable to the young Bulls.
You know, it's crazy the reaction that signing got in Chicago. People, the fans were really disappointed.
Wow.
And it's just a testament to, I mean, the underrated career that he's had. He's been really good for a very long time. But I think that he's just so under the radar that people don't appreciate, unless he's actually been on your team. So,
yeah,
you know, people.
Carter Rodriguez said this one time. He covers the Cavs for a variety of places. He said that, like, one of the best ways to evaluate the player you're getting outside of watching them is, like, what is the reaction of the fans of their incumbent team, right? Are they, are they devastated the player is gone? Or are they, like, eh? Like, you know, if Tyreek signed somewhere else this summer, I'd be like, okay, whatever. Like, Pacers fans are, like, devastated that Thad Young is gone. And, like, I think that's all you need to know is the Bulls.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think the fans wanted Taj Gibson to come back, but that was a lot better than Taj Gibson.
A lot, but it's like not even comparable.
Yeah, so I was pretty happy with it. I think the fans will grow to love him. I mean, I'm sure they will because he's just like so solid on both ends.
Well, and they'll love him because he'll always be available after games for whatever the Bulls TV affiliate is, and he'll be the post-game guy all the time.
Yeah. It's just like, I heard he's a very interesting guy off the court too, so.
He is, yeah. He's super
cool. Well-rounded person.
His family is great. All right, last thing I need from you today. The Pacers swooping in and getting their last guy, Jakarr Sampson, who I didn't think played in the NBA last year, but I checked out his old basketball reference page after they signed him. Lo and behold, 20 points per game score last season. I was very surprised by that. Now, obviously, that is misleading. He only played 4 games for the Bulls and played super huge minutes. I'm guessing he just came in on a 10-day when someone was hurt or something. Is that the case?
He was specifically brought in when they were trying to tank and lose games. So he was with the Windy City team, the G League team.
Okay.
And yeah, the Bulls benched all of their good players like the last month of the season and brought up a bunch of these G League guys. And Sampson was one of those guys.
20 points and 8 rebounds. Man, this is a playoff contributor.
Well, he was the number one option on the team at that point, which tells you like how strong they were trying to tank to close the year.
He did well. Like his percentages are good.
Yeah, it didn't even matter. The Bulls finished with the 4th worst record and dropped to 7 in the draft because this was not the year to tank after these new odds took place. So it's kind of karma, I guess.
Yeah, can he help at all, or is he just going to be like, if 6 people are hurt, sure, you might play?
So Samson's kind of interesting. Like he was really limited in his previous stints. I think that the fact that he could not shoot from outside pretty much at all really hurt his stock. And he came to the Windy City Bulls and the coaching staff told him, listen, you need to develop a 3-pointer if you're going to have a career in the NBA. And he really took that to heart. He shot a lot of threes in the G League. And when he got to the Bulls in this very short stint where he basically had a tryout to get this contract that he got with the Pacers, he was going to show teams that he could extend out to the 3-point line. And he did. He shot 3.5 threes per game. And I mean, it's only, of course, like a 4-game sample, as you said, but still, for a guy who never shot before that, hitting 36% of his threes, I think that does make him a much more interesting prospect. If you can call like a, he's going to be 26 this year, but still, I think there's room for him to grow a little bit. And if he can legitimately hit a three-pointer for 82 games, then I think he's like a pretty nice player. I don't think he's going to be more than an emergency backup big for you guys, but you know, you could do worse with your 14th or 15th man.
Yeah, he's the last guy, assuming his guarantee is anything substantial, which will be interesting. I'm actually mad he played these 4 games for the Bulls because that gave him 4 years of service, which means he can't get a two-way.
Yeah.
He'd be a great two-way guy. But
yeah, his minimum is a little bit higher than two.
Yeah, that doesn't really matter. They've already used all their space. But yeah, it's, for Herb Simon, it matters.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
I think they were kind of doing him a favor just because he was such a good guy for the G League team. So yeah, they've done that in the past, like just playing these G League guys at the end of the year to get them that extra experience for, you know, contract purposes.
Yeah, and I've always wondered that because the Pacers every year, they give one of their G League guys a 10-day, like in the middle of February, and then they don't keep him around because they get a buyout guy. But I always wonder, like, if you're not an NBA player, but you're in the G League and you're like pretty good, do you view that and you're like, huh, I can get in the league if I sign with the Bulls because they'll put me in at the end of the year. Like, you know, like, do they actually think about that? I wonder if that matters.
I think they should just more think of, you know, this guy's agent is really good. I think his agent is Bartlestein, who has a great relationship with the Bulls. That's the primary reason why Jabari Parker got $20 million last year.
Jabari somehow getting $16 million this summer made no sense to me, but my team didn't pay it. So
Bartlestein, man. Bartlestein's the best agent in the league, in my opinion.
The best agent in the league. Well, I'm glad there was a lot of crossover of roster between Collison and Thad and Jakar. And
yeah, it's kind of interesting that happened.
We could get a lot to talk about. Yeah, that kind of is surprising considering how in different places these teams are. But I am pleased with how it shook out for everybody here.
I do have a theory about the Bulls scouting. They have a very small staff. So I feel like, you know, they play these Eastern Conference teams way more frequently. If you play well against them, then they take that way too much into account. Like Cornette had two of his career high scoring games against the Bulls. And I think Collison did really well against them too. So
yeah, he had a game winner against the Bulls.
Yeah. I don't think it's a coincidence that they, you know, pulled a lot of these Eastern Conference players.
That would be a fun research project. I want to have one of those data people that knows how to like get every piece of NBA.com data in one place in 3 seconds somehow. I want to get one of them to like do a points per game over like their season average against their new team. I think that would be a fun research project.
All right, you listeners heard it. Tony is looking for an intern. The pay probably zero, I'm guessing, but
yeah, I have no money to offer and I have no experience to offer, but we can have a lot of fun talking about how much a player scored against their new team.
Yeah, you can also intern for me if you want to.
Yeah, is the Athletic hiring interns? The Athletic's an actual company, so I probably shouldn't make that joke.
I think they usually do actually hire summer interns. I don't know about it, but yeah, I think the positions are paid. You can go on the website and look, see if they have any right now.
Yeah, and you're still heading the charge over at the Athletic. Tell people where they can follow you outside of that.
Yeah, you can just follow me on Twitter at Stephnoh, Stephnoh. I do periodic podcast appearances. I don't have my own podcast anymore. But yeah, I always post those on Twitter, and then you can read my work about the Bulls at The Athletic.
Yeah, always good stuff from you. Love reading about the Bulls and your disdain for their offense. But hey, that turned around a little bit at the end of the year, at least.
I think they're going to be okay this year. I think they're going to jump maybe like 10 wins. So it'll be a more
hopefully they don't get any of those against their divisional rival in Indiana. And we get to see them play in the preseason, which will be fun, which the Bulls just announced a few days ago. So yeah, that'll be fun. I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, anytime, man.
Yeah, and you guys will be back next week to talk whatever me and Adam decide to talk about. We'll figure it out, and we'll see you then. Ooh, I almost hit the wrong